Sorry, completely inappropriate. And that's
so glad you recorded that.
I get to cut it out.
Yep.
And actually, I'm going to start the show with me saying I get to cut it out. Ha ha ha. You don't get to know what I said.
This is the evil laugh.
All right, you guys ready? Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Ross.
Caleb.
And I forgot to rearrange my screen. So if all of a sudden Ross just jumped to the top, that's why. I normally do that pre-show and just, you know, sandbagging tonight. As always, we're socially distanced. I can't remember which time zone Caleb's in, if he's in Mountain or Pacific now, because I know
Pacific time currently.
Yeah, like currently. You guys don't do daylight saving times, you just jump time zones. It's my favorite, like, little known fact about Arizona, especially when you're in Utah and you just drive south, but you go back an hour. Like, wait a
minute. It makes travel interesting sometimes, that's for sure.
Yeah. And my dad and I were in southern Utah, God, almost 2 years ago now, and literally drove south and we're like, oh crap, we're early. Like, find a coffee shop, chill out. Yeah, this is our podcast about anything and everything off-road. It's been raining here all day, so if it feels like the energy's down, it's like I am pounding the caffeine. Like,
here too. It has been dreary as dreary gets.
Plus, Russ, I don't know if I've told you this yet. After the knee surgery, I now have my own barometer. And so, like, when it rains, my knee hurts.
Oh, fun.
It's not fun.
Yeah, that's some people call that getting old. But if you've had
I'm there.
If you've had some kind of bone-related surgery, then you know. You know.
That's why my favorite Mike Birbiglia joke is when he got into his mid-40s, he was like, and people talk about being over the hill, he's like, oh, there's natural causes, I can see them now. Like,
great.
Thanks a lot.
Awesome.
Yeah. You want to start with your toy?
Yes. Okay. There's no news, so we're skipping the weekly roundup here, but I have been playing with the V8 Defender 90 for the last week. And it is magnificent. It's so well done in every way. So I had I think they call it P400 D90 in the fall, which is the mild hybrid inline six, and it was good. It was a little lazy and clumsy in the powertrain department just because the thing is, like, you know, 5,600 pounds, but it was, you know, a neat product. And then the V8 is just a totally different animal. So we do have to address the price elephant in the corner here. That's the 007 edition.
Why do I always grab that one?
Because it's the most striking, as the Brits would say. So the base Defender 90 for 2023 starts at $53,900. And the V8 Defender 90 starts at exactly double that.
Starts at 100 grand?
No, it starts at 107.8.
Oh my gosh.
So the one that I have test for this week is like 106 and change. It has a couple options, you know, the bigger Pivi Pro screen, and there's one or two other small inconsequential items, but it is just the best. Like, it has that, like, perfectly sorted nature to it. Like, the ride quality is good, even though there's, like, you know, not that much body roll. It's still comfortable and it's got huge wheels, but it doesn't crash over bumps, and it, like, settles down on the highway to like 1400 RPMs at speed, and it's quiet and composed and the interior is great. And then, you know, you get on the gas and it's just the silliest thing ever. And it's the same engine as the Jaguar F-Pace SVR, which I had for a couple of months ago, which is just no body roll and you floor it and it just goes. This, it's the same engine. It pitches the front, like, to the sky. It's like, it's just playful and silly in a way that something this weight and this price with four-wheel drive usually isn't. And it's like, if you floor it uphill from a roll in first gear, the front tires spin, like, until they grab and then pull you whichever way they decide to go. Like, wow. It's really, like, kind of sketchy and absolutely hilarious. I freaking love the thing. It's great. It is so joyous to drive, and it's so
that was nimble. That was your first message to me, was like, this is sketch.
Dude.
And I love that it's gone from like, this is sketch, but I love it so much.
Oh yeah, no, it's amazing. So, you know, I pulled out of my street the first time and like rolled onto the gas and like let it sit at maybe, I don't know, 2,500 RPM and floored it. And was like, you don't go back in your seat. The whole truck just pitches upwards like a boat. And it's hysterical. And it, you know, you can do that at any speed too. Like you can do that at highway speed.
So you're in a $100,000 SUV that gets up on plane.
Okay.
It's a boating term. You know, you just rise up and you, oh my God.
Shoom, right over our heads. That was an airplane joke. So.
Matt, where's Matt Farah? Get him back on. Right.
No, so the D90 is the best. If you can afford one, go out and buy it right now. That's the end of my story.
Highly recommend it. Did you just Ferris Bueller?
No, I did not say that. I said, go out and buy it as soon as you can. Man, I'm telling you, like, you know, you'd think something that's heavy is like clumsy, but it's nimble. You know, the turning radius is amazing because of the short wheelbase. The back seats are actually like usable. You know, there's no storage. And this 170 inch long Defender can tow almost 8,000 pounds, which that's a lot of weight.
170 inches?
Nose to tail, 170 inches plus the tire, you know, the spare tire mount on the back. The wheelbase is...
A Ford Transit wheelbase is only 174 inches away. Was why I was like, wait a minute, like that's
okay. The wheelbase on the Defender 90 is 101.9 inches.
Okay,
that's not. It's short and it's great, and it looks so dorky, and I fucking love it.
So Ross's recommendation is everybody should buy a Defender 90 V8
immediately. And if I won the lottery, it's probably the second vehicle I
was. JLR is going to be super happy with you.
Oh, they are. Yeah, no, like, I had a Discovery for a week last summer, and it had all of the infotainment problems.
Yeah, you hated it.
And I shat on it, so I have no shame, like, speaking my mind. But this thing
You off-roaded the F-Pace. You love this thing. They'll be in a good mood with you.
Yeah, I did off-road. Yeah, taking the F-Pace in the snow off-road was fun. So that's what I've been doing.
As a transition, I took a fun photo at work today. I forgot to tell Caleb that I share my screen so that way I don't have to go back and edit later. This is my Suburban.
God. That's hysterical.
Look how small my Suburban is. To the audio listener, I parked a Suburban between two of the Transits today. One's a mid-roof, all-wheel drive with the Quigley lift. It's called the Q lift, and it has KO2s with a roof nest on top, which the roof nest on top adds like another foot and a half. Mm-hmm. Like if you can see right here is the normal top of the roof rack, so like the roof nest really does get that much more. And then the van on the right is a high roof, extra long with the standard just roof rails and the air conditioning unit. But like my Suburban, it's never looked like small. Like
it's tiny.
I can't imagine that the one with the roof tent is rather fun to drive with all the body roll either.
It's not bad that the Q lift comes with Bilsteins, and so it's actually, I mean, it is a Ford Transit van and it's tall and it's got weight up top. Like I'm not saying it's a race car, but like I've had this one on the highway without the roof nest, and it was fine. It was a big, it's definitely a big van with stuff on it, but no, it's not awful. So my update is that I am ready to ride my mountain bike again, except I'm not allowed to yet. So
yeah, coming soon.
I've been doing physical therapy. And I went and saw the ortho, and he was like, hold up, what have you been doing? Flexibility and mobility? And I was like, no, he was doing strength. And he's like, you're going to stop that no more. Like, you need to chill. And I was like, can I ride my bike? And he's like, not yet.
You can get him later.
The weird part is like the physical therapist and the ortho, like, I feel like if I got them together, like, they might fight. Like, it's.
I mean, the most important part about surgery, other than getting it done is rehab. So
yeah. So, but in fun news, I am going to Overland Expo West. So
see you there.
I will see Caleb in person before I will have ever seen Ross in person.
Man, we're going to start doing a drinking game. It's like, if that doesn't get mentioned on the show at some point, you do a shot.
Well, because it's funny.
I know. When is that? So when are you guys going?
Oh, that's a good question. It is the 19th. I think we can set up. But I don't think the show opens until the 20th.
Of June?
May.
Of May. Oh, that's soon.
Yeah. I'm on the road. I will be driving a van. I don't know where our first day goal is, but the second day goal is Flagstaff. So that's
cool.
The good news about Adventure Van Company is like, if we don't make a stop, like pull over, but generally the vans are prepped. They don't really want us to wreck them before we get there. Yeah. So, but no, yeah. So it should be an interesting time. I haven't been to an expo before, so. And I did message Richard and Ashley since we were just talking to them, and he was like, "Oh my gosh, I'll see you in person before Ross."
Fucking hell.
He didn't actually reference that, but it would have been funny if he had.
Oh man. The four of you better get a show together while you're out there.
We'll
make it happen.
I'll wander around. By the way, dude, I'm out of stickers. I should probably have mentioned that before this point.
Okay. I will send you some.
Okay.
And Caleb, if you send me I'll just send Chris a bunch.
I can take him in person. Yeah.
I need to order more, actually.
There's probably going to be a lot of people that'll be like, you were on the show and you were on the show.
If anybody listening does want a sticker, email us.
Yeah.
What's our email?
Off the road again podcast at gmail.com.
Email us there and I'll send you a sticker.
I think that's the right email. I don't know. I never write it to myself.
I know. I just click OFF on Google. Okay. So email us and we'll get you some stickers. So
yes. Caleb, off the road again, podcast at gmail.com.
So Caleb, what will you be taking to Overland Expo West?
I will be driving our Gladiator up to Expo this year. And then I think we're also taking our LJ. That's what'll be in the booth. We'll also be taking our Prospector XL, but that's just for towing. So
I'm digging for the LJ photo right now. It is my favorite truck.
Prospector, man.
No,
yeah,
ignore the Prospector. The LJ is the best thing.
It's the first and last time anybody has said the Prospector.
Literally. For this thing though, this thing is so badass.
Okay, that's like iconic in the LJ world.
Literally, yeah. It's a super unique truck and it just like puts a smile on your face every time you drive it. Like, it's not fast by any means, and it's it's just such a fun vehicle to drive around, and this is the Safari Top sets it apart for sure.
Yes, it's so good.
Yeah, LJs are the best that the Wrangler has ever been.
Yeah
and this has the proper setup.
So I think I started following, is it Great Tops that makes that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I started following them just based on, like, I don't have a Jeep. I have no desire to buy a Jeep. I'm not putting a top on anything, but I followed them because of this Jeep. I was like, yes, so good.
There's a couple other cool tops, like the American Convoy it's a Safari version, like soft top, which is really cool. They don't make a lot of them. We'd love to find one. If anybody knows of any out there, let us know.
Man, what was that again?
American Convoy.
American Convoy.
American They're made Convoy in Phoenix.
Yeah, it came up. Oh. Oh my gosh. Is it all going to be low res images? Somebody.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Please have a high res version. Is that too high res? Nope, that works. That's actually kind of
too high res.
Well, yeah, because then it like, it's super high res, but they like sink it down until it's like, I go to share, it's like 200 by 300, but it was like 9,000 by 7,000. I'm like,
dude, that is fucking awesome. That looks like an old Defender.
So good.
Plopped onto an LJ.
Well, and it has the steel wheels too to go with it. Like it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's so good.
So it's got to be their corporate Jeep because even the license plate says Convoy.
I think they make them out of the guy's house in Phoenix, which is really cool. They're really low volume, and you know, I think it's made to order, which is really cool. I just love the look; they're perfect.
It's so great. The windows are huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't really think about improving the greenhouse on a Wrangler because you can just take the top off. Like, you don't, but like, that's great.
Well, and you can just roll the side up too. Like, that's the best part.
Is that screen or is that plastic?
I think it's a plastic window.
Screen.
Mm-hmm. If it had a screen option, well, if you made the order, then maybe.
Yeah, you, and you could also just go and just go and just do it yourself.
I mean, that is how you can do anything to any Jeep soft top. You just cut it. My favorite part was when I had my Wrangler or my TJ, I was in downtown Tampa with it. And I remember locking the truck and being like, why did I do that? Because I just cut the soft top apart. And I found a white one.
Oh no. This is gonna now be
And it did the thing. It was a huge image. It's too small.
Fascination. It's Chris's their fascination.
Oh my gosh, give me one I can share. They're so great.
I think Luai, who Richard Nashley stayed with in Saudi Arabia, has one as well.
That sounds about right. That was it looks like it belongs in Africa. Like, it looks great. Hence the fact they call it Safari.
Here's the thing. If we pool all of our money that we have collectively, we can get a good LJ. They've gotten so expensive.
The prices are on the rise. It's crazy. Like, it's hard to find a decently priced one with low miles that hasn't been molested yet. Mm-hmm.
It's
pretty wild. So I want to move over to a slightly different topic that has become a recurring theme as of late.
Are you?
And the Montero.
Oh, Caleb's truck.
Yes. So the question after we talk to a lot of people about all the awesome stuff that they drive for their job or their hobby is like, okay, but what do you drive? What's your own vehicle? And you are part of our ever-growing community of Montero owners and adventurers. So tell us about this truck because it looks awesome.
So it's a 1998 Mitsubishi Montero. It's a winter package, which has the rear locking differential, factory adjustable suspension, heated seats, and whatever else. I've had it a little over, I think, almost three plus years, I believe. I got it in 2019. I bought it from Sean Kendall in Central Oregon. He's a Montero specialist, like the only person I would trust to work on a Montero, basically. Guy's fantastic. So I bought it from him. He rebuilt and restored it. It's got a new motor. All the maintenance has been done. It's on 33s. It's got 4.9 gearing. I just put another set of Koni shocks on. It's got King coils. It's great.
Like,
it's set up for pretty much like anything you want to do while being, you know, fairly affordable and not over the top, you know, like it does everything and more. So
the factory adjustable suspension, what was that? And then,
in the 90s, Mitsubishi had, they're kind of like ahead of the time with, you know, like random silly tech, like the 3000 GT, I think, had it. And then like some other stuff. But you could like literally toggle the dampening with a button, so you can go from soft, medium, and hard.
Oh
yeah, God. Yeah. Oh, like they were ahead of the time in that, you know. But it, you know, like after 20 plus years, it's obviously kind of worn out and tired. That's why I switched to Koni's. They're just a better it's a better suspension, you know, setup, and it works well. So
are the Koni's made for the Montero? Or
yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's Koni too much in the off road world.
Yeah, it's funny, like, ironically, because, like, I bought another set of Koni's, and then Matt, my boss, bought, like, two other sets of Koni's. He bought one for his 901, 911, and then he got some Koni's for our other G-Wagon that we have at work, and it's just, like, you know, they're really quality shocks for kind of aero-appropriate vehicles and whatnot. You can adjust them, you know, which is, you kind of have to take them off to adjust them, but you can still change up the dampening, which is really cool. They're just fantastic, and they have the most travel, and they're technically like the biggest size of the Mitsubishi shocks that are available.
Okay. And I mean, as we know, more surface area, more volume to displace fluid and pressure is generally better. So
yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah. I this might be the first time Koni has come up on the show, actually, because it's like we were saying, you know, we always go to Bilstein and old man, like, Oh, I mean, all that stuff.
It's never come up with any of the rally race cars. Like, it's never Coney. That would be like the one spot, like race cars, but like,
yeah. No, I mean, Montero is basically a race car.
I'll give you that, like anything, if you want to drive it. Like,
I've had it way faster than it should be going. I definitely, you know, one time on my way down to Phoenix going downhill, I raced a Lamborghini and won. So it's fast.
Did the Lambo know you were racing?
Well, they were going definitely 100 miles an hour, and you know, Montero passed it. So,
oh my gosh, allegedly, Montero passed it.
Yeah,
allegedly. Okay, well, that's awesome, and it looks awesome, and it's fun to hear more people going to Montero after the last like 10 years have pretty much just been a wave of, oh, let's get 4Runners, you know, and it's, I don't know.
It's the Montero, the Montero community is really interesting. Like, you know, it's unique and it's quirky. You find really genuine people. And I think to own a Montero and be a part of that like weird lifestyle, you have to really want it, because like the vehicle is going to like break you time after time, because you're just like so frustrated with it. Yep. Like it's somewhere between like Toyota and Land Rover reliability, but like you get so much better people like in that, because you're right in the middle, and it's, I don't know, it's awesome.
Yeah, you, and the parts like availability Jeff. Neither.
The parts availability is not there. Like you're searching through like Amiyama and you know whatever else trying to find stuff. Like it's a nightmare.
Yeah, I tried that in the Viacross world. I had a Viacross briefly.
So cool.
I just didn't like. I spent as much time hunting for parts as I did working on the thing, which is not saying good things, because I spent a lot of time working on that thing, so I just didn't have it in me. So you're brave souls.
It's funny too, because it's like you have to earn it, like, you know, spending your time at the junkyard and whatnot. It's like, I don't know, I find it fun. Like it's really enjoyable, like walking around the junkyard on a Sunday morning looking for parts. Like it's fun.
Yeah, grab a coffee, go look for parts. Yeah,
exactly.
It's their own. That sounds like a David Tracyism. Coffee. Hunt for parts.
I was gonna make a joke about him storing his food outside, but that's,
oh yeah, that was David, if you're listening, we're still questioning that.
Hard.
Yeah, so anyways, tell us about Adventure Imports.
Yeah, so Adventure Imports is the exclusive importer and distributor for MaxTrax Indiflate, and we strive to bring in premium you know, four-wheel drive products that the U.S. is lacking. We've been in business like 6 or 7 years now, I believe. You know, Adventure Imports was started by Matt and Laura, Matt Scott and Laura Chain. They're the owners, and they've, you know, been around the four-wheel drive industry for quite some time. Matt, you know, has been a huge role and partner in Overland Journal. You know, a lot of people probably know him through the Overland Journal podcast. You know, Adventure Imports has just always been, I guess, a big leader as far as quality and innovation in the, you know, off-road industry. And I'm grateful to be there. It's pretty cool to you know, support people and support their adventures with product that, you know, really, really makes their adventures go further.
Dude, it's funny that you say like that, because like it's so, when I'm talking to people about off-roading their transit vans, they're which they do, like they're gonna do it, but like the one thing that they always come up, they're like, what if I get stuck? And I'm like, traction boards, like traction, you have this giant van and a great big rack on top, traction boards will be perfect for you. Like, Max Trax will work.
Yep. 100%. And, yeah,
much less room for failure or injury than a winch, as and much it was, as it's easy to rely on a winch.
It was always I'd ask Emmy Hall, I was like, winch or traction boards? And she's like, traction boards every time. Like she's like, if I have to choose, traction boards every time. But if I don't get to choose both.
Mm-hmm. Emmy uses her so much with her Miata. It's awesome. Like, you know, I gotta witness her, you know, at Rebel Rally. I was on the photo team for Rebel Rally, and we were there, Matt and I were supporting the event. And it was awesome and glamorous. I gotta witness her doing a recovery with Rebecca. And it was awesome because Nina Barlow and Tara Lynn came and they were helping them get out. And it was just, the teamwork was amazing, you know. Rebel is such a cool thing.
Oh, let's see.
Oh, God. There's Buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Was that your first Revel that you went to?
That was my first Revel. Yeah, it was awesome. Like to be on the ground, you know, with, I guess, with a lot of the women that you talk to kind of like over the years is really, really cool. You know, the coolest part about Revel to me is watching the confidence of these women from the beginning of the week where they're really timid. They're still figuring it out. They're trying to figure out, like, they know they can drive because they're there. They've made it there. You know, they've done all the training to get there, but it's like, they're super timid, you know, like during the event, because it's intense. And then watching their confidence throughout the week just progress like drastically. And to see the teamwork between different teams as well is awesome. You know, like it's such an amazing event. You know, Emily Miller is one of the most amazing humans that puts it on and runs it. Seriously, like she doesn't get enough credit, but she's like amazing. So
dude, my favorite episode is we had Rebecca Donaghy and Sedona Blinton come on and talk about how they actually navigate the rally. And it was like an episode of Ross and My's Head, just like every 40 seconds they'd say something else and we'd be like, what? Like, just the stuff they do to navigate through stuff, the time, speed, and distance stuff, and just then charting them. And like the one time Rebecca messed it up because she didn't have the map unfolded and the checkpoint was on the other side of the map, and like, just of course I'm gonna tell a story, Rebecca, where you made a mistake. I apologize. But yeah, no, like ever since I first heard of the rally, I was like, I want to go spectate it.
you should like, if you can make it down to Glamis on the last day, like I highly recommend it. You know, to me, I think Glamis is like, it's crazy. Like I'd never been to Glamis until Rebel. It's massive. Like it's crazy. Like I don't have any desire to like take my car and like drive in there. Like it's insane. Like shout out to them, like for doing it. You know, we were fortunate this year to have a contingency program and kind of, you know, throw in money, I guess, for the teams like running Max Tracks. And it was awesome to see, you know, Nina Barlow and Tara Lynn on top. You know, it was, it was an awesome podium, and we're stoked to see the money go where it went. You know, like Max Tracks Adventure Imports was the first sponsor, I believe six or seven years ago that Rebel's been going now. So yeah, we were the first sponsor, and it's been awesome.
Six.
six, but it's just like awesome to, you know, continually support such an amazing event.
Yeah. It's the best. I mean, universally praised, you know, everybody loves it. Everybody loves the people that do it. It's really, truly special.
Stuck.
Yeah.
That Rivian's heavy. Like I feel bad for them, but you know, it's really heavy. That's its biggest flaw is the dunes.
No one forced them to drive it.
I mean, good on them for taking the chance, but I don't know. That Frontier in the background also looks pretty nice, and it weighs about 2,500 pounds less.
Flint Sedona's truck, yeah. It's like it's literally lined up with all of our guests.
Yep, I know. We are the unofficial podcast of the Rebel Rally.
When are you guys gonna get Emily Miller on? Like that'd be an awesome episode.
She's on the list. I think I emailed Nina 2 years ago, and she's never got busy.
She's very busy.
We actually got one scheduled date on the calendar, and we were like set up to record, and I called her, and the lady at the shop was like, she's not here. She's out. I was like, I guess it's not going to happen. Someday.
Yeah. Someday you'll get a hold of her.
Someday
we'll be famous enough to.
Yeah. Right.
Not going to happen. Oh man. The best part of this. Oh.
So
I like the behind the scenes posts of like the chase teams, because dude, you were hanging out on Earth Roamer. Like,
yeah, it was mission control. It was, you know, the Earth Roamer is like, it's funny because most people are like, oh, I bet you never take that thing off road. Man, the Earth Roamer sure can boogie off road. Like, let me tell you, I think that vehicle is better off road than it is on road. Like, it's amazing. Like, it moves, and you know, like, it's a whole house. It's crazy. Like we had the whole truck set up. Basically we were, you know, during some of the marathon events, like we were sitting there and we had like the iPad set up and we're watching everybody on the screens and doing editing and everything else. Like it was the most perfect thing, you know. I think it was like day three when we were at Big Dune, when the really crazy,
the wind
started.
Yes. Oh man.
Matt had like seven people in the Earth Roamer just all piled in. And it was just like literally like mission control for the entire event at that point. It was fantastic.
It was like, it was the only place you could all hunker down and like just be like, let it pass.
Yeah. Literally like myself, Richard, Ashley, Harry Wagner, Rochelle Croft, and like one other person, I forget who, like all got a hotel room back in town. Oh, just because we're like, we're not camping after this. If you go to the next picture, you can see what our tents.
Yeah, Rochelle standing next to the tent was like, oh, yeah, I can see why they opted out that night.
It was great. Yeah, it was needed being in a hotel room after that.
Oh man,
crazy, truly, like actual madness.
Yeah, it was chaos. It was insane.
Dude, I love the Earth Roamer so much.
It's pretty fantastic. We need to find a way into one of those. Speaking of pretty insane, can we talk about the Pacific Northwest experience with the 1945 Jeep?
Oh yeah. Yeah, so that's our family's that's been in our family since I believe the 70s. My great grandparents bought that, and it was originally it was used at a school, like kind of for like their maintenance and whatnot. Our family got it and then they kind of restored it. And recently my parents took it over. So they've been, my dad's kind of been tinkering on it and kind of getting everything even more perfect on it. Next up is like new tires. He's been redoing all the seals on it. Redid all the brakes. There was a bunch of stuff that was just like totally backwards on it.
Started laughing as you said brakes. So
yeah, like literally we were driving through our neighborhood, I think in December and literally had absolutely no brakes. It was terrifying. But it's, you know, it's one of those things that is really cool to have in your family and be able to, I guess, bond with it, you know, and take other people out. Like it's such a blast. Like I think some of my favorite memories, you know, like ever with my dad, will just be like my dad, you know, like inviting my friends to come ride on it at like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, like with like horrible headlights, but it's just to experience it and put smiles on other people's faces. Like it's awesome. It was really funny. I was back home in December and he was really adamant about going to the coast. So we rented a U-Haul trailer and took it out to the beach and we're driving around on the beach and the battery kept dying on it. And we weren't sure if it was just like, we didn't know what was going on, but it ended up being the battery and had to keep pulling it out. And we just kept getting stuck in the process, which is just, I don't know. It's funny.
It builds the aura of the whole
thing. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Almost like it's having a good time too.
I'd be worried if it was like reliable. I want it to be quirky and horrible. Like
it adds for the adventure. Yeah, I'm all for it.
What beach is that? I feel like I've seen pictures of that before. Is that the same beach that the Transatlantic Trail ends at?
No, they ended in northern California. I think that was closer to Lost Coast where they ended.
Oh,
that's in like Pacific City, Lincoln City area. Okay. Pretty much like ironically, like every car commercial shot there now. When we were there, Via Films was out filming the Ford Lightning. They're filming a Ford Lightning commercial. And then I believe this week they're filming the V8 Defender out there too.
Ah, of course.
You tied it together.
Yeah, that you did better.
All your news.
Callback. That looks awesome. That thing looks like a blast. I didn't really understand the charm behind those until as of late. Now it's kind of like, oh fuck, they look like side by sides that you can actually drive on the street. You know,
I would say, is that because Zach got one too? Like, is it because Bowman got one?
Yeah, that doesn't hurt, but like, you can't drive a Roxer on the street legally, you know. So this is as close as it gets.
You can drive side by sides legally here in Arizona. Like there's people, going to the store, like getting groceries in their side by side. Like I see people at Costco, like there's people at Costco, like getting groceries in bulk with their side by sides.
Dude, where are they going to put it? Up in New Hampshire, they have a bed. Yeah,
not all of them do.
But up in New Hampshire and Maine, the places we go, people do that. But I can assure you, if you do that in the state of Connecticut, things are not going to go well.
I mean, I feel like that's most things in the state of Connecticut. Like,
fuck.
It's not very big.
Don't remind me. Actually, maybe I should test this theory. I'll just like, I have a few.
You have a borrowed quad. Like, why not?
I do. But that is very different from, like, if I put, like, turn signals and, you know, plates on side-by-side, probably easier to get away with that than a quad.
Even though probably, definitely.
Could keep up with traffic a hell of a lot better on the quad, tell you that much.
I skipped the minis. Where'd they go? We didn't talk about the Gladiator, Ross. You skipped that one.
Oh, so let's talk about the Gladiator.
The massive, you know,
for off-road podcast that's been out from like 2020 through now, we don't talk about the Gladiator all that much.
No, we don't.
We're due.
It's funny because I feel like a lot of people have forgotten how good the Gladiator is. You know, I never was a Jeep person until I started working at Adventure Imports, and I feel like I can, you know, confidently say like I'm really in love with Jeeps. I think that the Gladiator to me is the ultimate vehicle that I would drive around the world in. It's
hello, so Dan Breck.
Yeah, you know, I build mine a little bit differently, but I think, you know, it's such a capable vehicle that, you know, you can fit 37s on it with like a 2-inch lift. You can, the factory bumper with a winch, you know, factory sliders, which are fantastic. Like a 37-inch tire fits under the bed, you know, in the spare location. Like it's crazy. To me, it's the ultimate vehicle. It'll do anything you want.
So you don't really need to like re-gear for 37s either.
No.
Auto.
If you have a Rubicon, generally you don't. We re-geared ours to 488s just because we knew we'd be putting extra weight in it. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on what it weighs. I'm not sure at the current moment. But it, you know, it's got a long range tank. It's got, you know, front rear bumpers. It's got the camper. It has drawers, 175 amp hours of lithium in the rear. Fridge. It's got, it literally is everything. Like we built it to go around the world. And you know, it still boogies and it has, you know, like it does everything.
Mm-hmm. Is it a diesel or is it the Pentastar?
It's the Pentastar. It's a 2020. So it's the first year they released it.
I see. Yeah. The Gladiator's good. It's kind of forgotten because everybody in the midsize segment is either like all over the Tacoma, or, you know, now everybody's starting to obsess over the ZR2s and the Bisons and, you know, starting to look outside like just Toyota, you know. So we're starting to see Rangers getting built up and, you know, some of the new Frontiers, but the Gladiator's really freaking good.
It's you know, if I was to sell the Montero, I would really strongly consider getting a Gladiator for personal use. Like it's so good.
So what's on your automotive bucket list that you're eventually going to try to track down for yourself?
I'd be crazy if I didn't say Pajero Evolution.
I love that so much.
Straight to the moon.
Oh!
I mean, shit, same.
you know, like, it's hard because it's like, I think, I feel like my bucket list is really small because of the job that I have. I feel really fortunate to be around and exposed to so many vehicles. It's like, you know, we have a Brute next door at Overland Journal. So it's like Mike McMahon's Brute sits next door. We've got, you know, like at work, I get to drive the Prospector XL. Like I've driven the TRX. You know, we've got the Gladiator, the LJ. We have a pop top G wagon at the moment that I haven't posted about. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay, so tell us about the Prospector. What is the experience of a Prospector like? Because everything I've read about it makes it seem like it feels basically factory.
You summed it up. Like I think that the whole essence of the Prospector, it's perfection. I think Dave's team at AEV, you know, has like knocked it out of the park consistently, like since they started. The work that they do is second to none. You know, every single product and part on that vehicle has a purpose. And if it isn't there, you know, like there was no reason for it to be there. As it should be, like there's no reason to modify the prospector. Like it's crazy. Like you can open the door and you can see, you know, updated specs for, you know, the GVWR payload, all that.
Really?
That's with 40 inch tires. That's with 40 inch tires.
Oh, that one's on 40s.
It's on 40s. Yeah. So Matt's prospector's on 40s. So it still maintains a factory warranty. It's amazing. Like that truck has so much torque and so much power. I think it gets close to 16 miles to the gallon.
What?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So like,
is it a diesel or is it?
It's a diesel.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, 5.7 or 6.4 is not getting 16 miles per gallon with that much weight.
Which, you know, like it's funny because I think when I drive the Prospector and then, you know, when I look back at driving the TRX, I think there's something a little bit more livable and manageable with the Prospector than there is the TRX. Like the TRX is a little bit more intimidating because you sit more in it because it's more of a race truck than it is, you know, a utility truck.
The TRX just always wants to go.
It does.
There's no restraint.
Driving the TRX through town is really intimidating, but it's so much easier to drive a Prospector, even though it's on 40s where the TRX is on 35s.
TRX blue?
Yeah, ours was blue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had some serious trouble with the TRX living in a city.
Yeah.
Once you get outside the city, it's fine, but like even our highways are pretty narrow, you know? It was fun to blast through like underpasses, but other than that, I had a difficult week with it.
We brought ours to Rebel Rally and it was used as kind of like a chase vehicle, support vehicle throughout the event. Chris Walker drove it the entire time. And it was, you know, watching someone who's a you know, like one of the best four-wheel drive trainers in the world, you know, drive that vehicle to what he said wasn't its full potential, because he's like, it's not my vehicle, you know. Watching him drive it to that level though was like insane. It's just cars are so capable and you know, so good now.
Yeah, it significantly more vehicle than I can handle. Yeah. You know, and like I don't want to speak for all of us, but I think we're at the point, especially with something like the TRX, where the general public is not capable of handling that much power or that much weight.
You know, 100%.
within reason, so
safely. Yeah,
it's a good desert truck.
It's a great desert truck, but you know, if you try to stop that thing in the snow or the ice here, like it's not happening. Not that it would be easy to stop a Prospector. I mean, they probably weigh about the same, but just different mentalities. So it's interesting that you said Gladiator for, you know, around the world and not Prospector though, because I guess it's just size.
You know, the Gladiator fits in a shipping container, even with the way it sits on 37s. You can find parts around the world. We would still consider driving a Prospector around the world. I just think that, you know, the Gladiator is a little bit, it's more maneuverable in town. If that makes sense, it's just simple. Like there's Jeep parts generally anywhere in the world.
That's true.
So yeah,
that is true.
Yeah.
This is why you don't take the TRX.
Yeah.
It's so heavy.
I just want to know which journalist ended up getting the TRX stuck at that press event last year. Like I don't know how you can get that stuck at Cinders. Like it's not hard to get, or it's really hard to get a vehicle stuck at Cinders.
That's funny.
I don't know.
Getting it stuck out there is less damaging to a TRX than what my guys at Everyday Driver did to it.
Yeah. crutch. Okay, real fast. Where is Cinders?
Cinders, that's in Flagstaff. Unfortunately, if you're trying to make it there around Expo, I'm not sure you'll be able to make it since there was a huge fire that just recently went through.
Oh, crap.
That's a bummer. Oh, what's the name of that fire? I was reading about it on Expo.
Actually, I don't remember what the name of the Flagstaff fire is. The fire in Prescott just got, it's at like 90% containment, which is good.
Okay.
Do you guys have a fire?
Yeah. Yeah. Already.
It's sketch, man. I hate fires. Like,
sucks.
Not many people like them.
Ross, have I told my forest fire stories on here before?
know, dude. We've done so many of these shows.
As soon as I tell it, you'll remind me yes or no. So I worked at a summer camp in Estes for 2 summers. And so the second summer I was out there was the Hayman fire. And it was close enough that it was like camp sits under Longs. And so across the valley, Twin Sisters on the other side of the valley, the smoke is on the other side of that mountain. So it's nearby. And so they brought all the counselors into the lodge one night and they're like, all right, we got to talk about evac plans. And we're like, okay. Like, this is a little more real. Like, we're actually discussing, like, it's not a fire drill. Like, it's like, I guess technically it was our version of it.
Yeah.
But, procedure one is if it's looks like it's coming our way, load every kid into the camp vans, which there were only 3 15 passenger vans, and then every counselor's car, and we drive off and we leave. That's plan one. If it comes too fast and we can't drive out or the road's blocked, everybody congregates on the football field because it's the thing farthest away from all of the trees. And everyone brings their sleeping bag and then they turn on the sprinkler system and we get under our sleeping bags, leave the water on and wait for a helicopter to come lift us out of camp.
Oh, geez.
Luckily, neither thing had to happen, but at 20-year-old me, yeah, I was about 19. I was like,
yikes,
the fuck are you talking about? Like, that's how we're surviving this, we're doomed. Of course, you can't talk about any of this because everyone around you is like 6 to 15. Like, they don't have a clue what's going on. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. You're scaring the children.
Yeah. We didn't. They're like, why is it snowing? I was like, that's exactly what it is. It is snow. Yes. It's hot and snowing. Yeah.
It's not nuclear fallout.
Right.
Anyways.
Okay. We came out of a school. We were doing something with the kids and we came out and it was just ash was just raining down.
Jeez.
Like, it's snowing. And we were like, yes, it is. Let's get on the bus. Like,
yeah. And that's crazy. I mean, those fires we had a couple of years ago, like the fires in California, you know, the sun here was a different color and we had less light and there was like the lightest dusting across everything. And people are talking about how inconvenient it is. I'm like, fucking 3,200 like miles homes. Away.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't California, it was Colorado. Yeah, it was Colorado. So yeah, no, if anybody is out there, please stay safe. But crazy. So, okay. So you won't be wheeling at that place.
Yeah, won't be there.
Have you always been in the Flagstaff area or do you stay, you were from?
I live in Prescott currently. I'm originally from Oregon. Grew up in Salem, Oregon. And I think, you know, about a year ago, I moved to Prescott. But, you know, like the Northwest is amazing. I think I feel really fortunate to have grown up in Oregon. Just the diversity of landscapes that you're able to reach in short amounts of time. Like, you know, like that right there is like an hour from my parents' house. You know, like that I'm like at 2 hours from Central Oregon, an hour and a half from Mount Hood, you know, 6 to 7 hours from, you know, the Eastern Oregon desert. Like it's never ending, like what you can actually get into. I don't know. The Northwest is perfect for exploring.
Yeah. Did you grow up off-roading or you got to do it later?
No. I think the off-road thing is just like a weird progression of just, you know, like living an outdoor lifestyle. You know, like in high school, my first car was a 98 Toyota Avalon and that car literally like went everywhere and anywhere and more places than it should have gone. I lived out of it for a summer in Central Oregon, like slept in, you know, like living in the back of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and then eventually I got like a Passat wagon and then I had a Subaru Outback that I lifted. And then I realized that I needed something bigger. And that's kind of the general progression of just like finding my way more into the off-road scene. And from there I'd gotten the Montero. And it's just, you know, I think to me, the off-road community is really cool. It's so many people that have a passion for the outdoors and exploring and pushing themselves. And, you know, like they love working on their own vehicles. And it's, you know, I think it's cool that that's what's always gotten me into the off-road scene. It's just the people.
Yeah. That is one of the biggest through lines with all our guests is like, you know, everybody loves seeing shit and doing shit and going places. And a lot of us actually love like the technical stuff, but it's always, you know, the personal aspect of it, like sharing the experiences and whatnot.
Well, it's always been like, come for the cars, stay for the people. You know, I think that's what, you know, has always stuck with me. It's like, we're here for the people, you know, at the end of the day, like, yeah, it's cool to have a car, but it's, you know, the car isn't driving itself. It's the person behind it. They're the one that's building it. You know, like they're the ones you're sharing experiences with out on the trails, you know, like you're sitting around them with at a campfire, like that's what it's really about at the end of the day. I think I'm fortunate to have so many good friends that have helped me along the way. So many good mentors, you know, a good community back home, you know, Ben and Nate, 4x4, you know, like amazing people who, like that was a 4x4 meetup, you know, it's just like the best of friends, like, you know, like having weird niche Japanese, you know, JDM friends, you know, like all out with like weird vans and Pajeros and stuff. Like it's such a blast. I don't know. I love it.
Yeah. It's so good.
Future guests of the show.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Ben was texting me earlier this week about that.
Yeah. I've been slinging emails.
Yeah, no, but I mean, to your point, like you guys are out deep in the mountains there. And it's the same thing as like, you know, cars and coffee on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. You don't end up staying to stare at the same car. You end up staying because you met somebody and you're talking about random car crap, you know?
Literally. So, like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like my best friends have always come from just like those, you know, random times. It's like Overland Expo. It's like, I never thought I would really enjoy Overland Expo, but it's like, man, I met some of the best people, you know, the community is really where it's at.
Right. I mean,
road community is the best because there's no other real community in which you might have to rely on, no car community where you might have to rely on somebody to actually, you know, keep you alive help you get back to civilization.
I talk on a weekly basis to a guy I've never met in person. Like,
oh my
God. And in reality, it's more than weekly. Like,
yeah, it's daily at this point. Wow, that's, oh my God, that's funny.
You hadn't processed that yet?
No, the dots were.
Like, do you know what you're describing?
Oh, man.
Oh, that's homie, funny. This that shot is funny. Awesome. All right, we're just sharing Caleb's Instagram at this point because he's, his photos are
holy
great.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where is that?
That's like out Hood River area in Oregon. Ironically, we somehow made our way through a back way that we didn't realize was a back way and went out another way in the morning and had a gate locked on us. So that was a real fun trip in the snow, but it was an awesome memory.
What kind of pressure do you air down to for deep snow like that? Like 12?
Yeah, I start around 13 or 12 ish. I think, you know, the more you drive in the snow, the more you understand the snow conditions and you just like go straight to what you should be at. Yep. The Indiflate is a product I use quite a bit. That's a product that we sell through Adventure Imports. It's a 2 or 4 hose air up, air down unit. And it makes my life really easy. You know, I'll run pressures anywhere from, you know, generally on dirt. The Montero's got a torsion bar front end, so it's not comfortable. Mm-hmm. I generally start at 18 PSI, and then I kind of work my way down. But, you know, like I've gone as low as 5 PSI, no problems, no bead locks.
No bead locks?
Yeah, no bead locks. It just, you know, like you just have to drive slow and kind of know when and what, you know, your tires are doing, but it gives you so much flotation and your car needs it if you're in really, really deep snow.
What tires are those?
They're Kumho MT71s.
Oh, nobody runs those out here.
Nobody runs them, but like, they're really good. Like I really enjoy the tire. Like I would love a lesser aggressive tire. Like in an ideal world, I'd run a Falcon AT3. It's like literally the best tire in my opinion. It's fantastic. It's so good.
It's got great on-road and off-road banners.
Yes, it's really good. We have it on all our work trucks. I love it. It's so good.
They are very, very, very good, but it was the tire of tires when it was two-thirds of the price what it is now. And now the prices have come up and they're the same price as all the, you know, the
But major. What's the best all-terrain right now then?
I live and die by Toyos, by the AT2 AT3s. I love them. I think I find them to be more durable than some of the other tires. And, you know, I live in the Northeast. All our trails are rocks. So I love Duratrax, but Duratrax are
too soft,
softest sidewalls of, you know, anything. And I don't know. I've never, KO2s, I've had balance problems with KO2s. I know that's an anomaly, but
too soft. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the Toyos. I wish they had a little more deflection, but, and they weighed a little less, but I love them.
We throw KO2s on the vans at work, but unless if you have the dual rear axle, the KO2s do not have the load ratings high enough for those. So they get open country AT3s.
Hell yeah, they do.
There you go.
Yeah.
But the Kumos are great though. Like it has a center tread design, which keeps the snow kind of in it. So you know, like snow sticks to snow. So it works really well. And then the outer tread void's really good. It's like you have like a two-finger tread void essentially, which just like eats, and it, you know, it's like with the combination of having grip in the middle and then the outer being able to dig, I think it's fantastic in the snow. Clever. It's also really, really good on the ice. Like I've never had any issues with it in the ice. Like I'll cruise 65, you know, like on my way home to Oregon, no problem. Like the Montero is great for high because of, you know, like the rally heritage and whatnot, but it just works real. Like I've had no problems with those tires. Like I love them.
Good to know. Yeah. They,
so Ross, like, when you get west of the Mississippi, you got to switch tires.
Exactly.
And Kumo might have the best memes on the internet as well.
Oh, noted.
No,
you have to explore this later.
Yeah, yes. I'd say like
Kumo memes.
it's like the Kumo tire Instagram. Like whoever runs it is amazing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Sorry. Sense of humor.
They are not afraid to laugh at themselves.
Share with class, please. Give us
I don't know what's actually okay. This looks like it's them. It's not high enough res
on Instagram.
Oh, I didn't go to their Instagram. I went
to
the
Instagram's where it's at.
I just Google searched. Give me 1 second. There can't be that many Kumo tire.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't even know if Kumo makes like, do they have a traditional AT or
is they just released another all terrain recently. It looks to me like it's like a mix between a Falcon and a Toyo AT3. Or like an AT2 more so.
Let's see if my computer loads it. The Road Venture AT52. Oh yeah, it looks like the Toyo AT2 and like the General Grabber AT2s.
Oh man, I'm not sharing that one. It's too topical.
Road Venture AT51. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, noted for future reference.
What's up with them and Shrek?
I don't know. It's great. It's great though.
It's like they have a bunch of memes about them and Shrek. Like, like the Valentine's Day one is, you can read it for yourselves, but I will read for the audio listener. It says, is your Valentine smooth AF, which was Prince Charming, thick, which is Shrek, or under 4 foot tall, which was Lord Farquaad. Sorry, sweetie. That's not your Valentine. It's a tire. Lord Farquaad.
Oh man, that is definitely interesting.
I'm proud and ashamed that I remember that dude's name is Lord Farquaad.
Yeah, because it's Lord Farquaad.
Lord Farquaad. It's a children's movie.
Is it though?
It's all right. You will have dodged that bullet by the time your kid shows up.
Or
it's the weird thing of like, because kids movies are like cyclical, so like when my oldest was born, like a lot of Finding Nemo, like, and as we kind of went through, like with the youngest, like there's no fun, there's a lot of Peppa Pig, like it's not, she's not watching the same horrible shows.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through their Instagram now. They have, somebody has a Shrek fascination there.
Yeah, like there's a lot of Shrek.
It's like every row has, or every third row has a Shrek thing on it. It's so strange. Oh my god. Anyways, what like else
the,
can we
hold on
can we
the inspiration on? Memes, like this one's like inspiration for 2022. You won't cry if you don't try. The tire. Like,
oh man.
Like I'm glad they have a sense of humor. That's
it's good. Yeah, it's good.
too many stuffy companies out there.
Might go ahead and send Kuma to the marketing department tomorrow and let them be like, hey guys.
Yep.
And they'll immediately say, stay in your lane. I'll be like, okay.
Yeah. This is usually how it goes, right? As somebody working in marketing, can neither confirm nor deny.
Like, I seriously, what is with Shrek in them? Like, I don't get it. Just the combination of memes, that's even
so dumb. I love it.
Yeah, and that one has absolutely nothing to do with tires.
Yeah, there was no tire reference in there whatsoever. My favorite part is I think we were already following them.
Oh, great. Oh man,
that'll pop back up in the feed again.
Yeah, that is bizarre.
I will look at that for sure.
Really bizarre. Man. All right. So what else can we touch on before we break here? What, Caleb, what else can you tell us? I mean, any new exciting adventure import stuff come in or anything in your world of automotive shenanigans?
We're planning a Northwest trip in June, which should be pretty fun. Hitting a bunch of spots on our way up to Northwest Overland Rally. Matt and Laura will be driving the Earth Roamer, and I'll be driving the Gladiator up. That'll be pretty fun. I'm excited to get up there and do that. They are they're headed up to Alaska Tuck the Yuktuk with the Earth Roamer, which will be pretty cool. Excited for them. It's like the dream. So
they drive that thing a lot, it looks like.
Yeah, they use it a lot. You know, like it's the perfect vehicle for them because it's like you can work on the road if you want, and it's also just like it's so easy that you can actually like relax, you know. We're so busy at work that, you know, finding time to relax is really important. And you know, like getting outdoors is key. So I think the Earth Roamer is just like the perfect vehicle for them with that.
Yeah, it seems like it.
They took a picture with an Earth Cruiser and an Earth Roamer.
Yeah,
that's, on Earth.
That's Eli who runs Auto Car Club in Scottsdale's Earth Cruiser.
That's so great. We've had Lance on the show who's the president of Earth Cruiser.
He's something.
He's important, I know that, and Australian. I just love that it's in the same photo. Sorry.
Okay, I'm also just realizing we forgot to talk about Mini Master X because I'm still trying to get my hand on a set of them for the side by sides. They are so cool. It's like
the minis are like, you know, I think the most people like haven't realized how great the minis truly are. You know, it's a product that can be easily stored in your car, you know. Mm-hmm. It has so many uses, and to me it's versatile. You also get like the jack space, like if you wanted to have the jack space combo, which is, you know, unlike the normal Mini, the jack space has a flat bottom that's reinforced more. It has a spot for a high lift jack to go, and you can use your jack with it. It's perfect. You know, and if it was me, This is my personal opinion. Like I would take four minis or two Max Tracks all day long.
Yes.
Because it's like one on each tire is priceless. You can also get, you know, you can get the fixing and linking kit, which links them together. So you could basically have two full size Max Tracks to use. And it's perfect. You know, like it's hard not to take them with you. You know, Richard and Ashley just took theirs to Saudi Arabia with them. They just
really
duffel bag. I believe Zen and Sedona also did too. And I think they donated a set to the Austria or the Saudi Arabian dunes at their last rally. I need to get her another set. But that's funny. You know, like it's the perfect travel item, you know, like when you're traveling minimally. And it works great. Like it's not just for side by sides and you know, crossovers, it's for full size too. You know, Sean Holman carries his with him.
Holman runs minis?
Yes. Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm. He wanted minis. He wanted minis because he wanted to save some space in his car. So
That makes sense. I mean,
the carrying case makes them so, it's going to sound dumb, handy.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like they store easier. Because, and the bag, like, no offense to like MacTrack, like they're rough. Like they're supposed to be because you want to get traction on them, but like packing them in the car and in that little bag, like that's high on my list too.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite good.
They're perfect, definitely.
We'll
have to get you guys some.
That would be fantastic. I have many things I could use them on, especially as the winch on my dad's Razor has decided it doesn't want to be a winch anymore.
And oh no.
The steel cable on my brother's Can-Am has died, and we've been too preoccupied reassembling the Razor to get the new cable on. So yeah, I mean, definitely could put these things to use, but I also just love that you guys are showcasing the picture of it with the bottle jack, because I think in the off-road community, people like kind of poo-poo bottle jacks because it's not a high lift, you know, but bottle jacks are the way to go. They're so much better.
Well, and I think, you know, there's a lot to be said for safety, and you know, most people resort to using a winch before they use Maxtrax, a kinetic rope or anything else. You know, I don't personally run a winch on my vehicle. Like I have no need. I don't want to add more weight. I feel like I'm pretty OCD and pretty safe often, but a winch is something that I don't want to, I guess, have go wrong on my own terms.
Yeah.
You know, like, and if I have a winch, then I'm obligated to get other people out with it. So it's like, you know, Maxtrax to me are like the one thing that's safe. It's foolproof. And you know, like 99% of the time you're going to get out, like you might just have to do a little bit more work. You know, right. Often people think that it's a magical thing where you just put it in front of your tire and you get unstuck. No, it has to grip your tire. Like you have to have it in the tread. Like you have to do a little bit of work. Like,
you know, just put it in front. It's totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's no magnets that's going to like pull it to your car and like get you unstuck. Like it's, you got to do
patent that idea.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, you know, in some areas, like, yeah, like we've had a Maxtrax like bridge before of multiple sets, because it's like, you know, just to get out is needed, you know, like Matt and Laura, both that, you know, they carry four sets of Maxtrax Extremes on the Earth Roamer, because it's like one set for in front of the tires, one set for behind the tires, because what happens if you have no run up and then, you know, you're able to kind of put it in front of the tire and just kind of keep going. Mm-hmm. If you need, you know. I have no problem saying that you can do that, because I'd rather do that than just get myself in a world of hurt.
I feel like I saw like one of like either Rebel year one or two, like I felt like it was like Jesse Combs like using the Maxtrax as like a bridge across a small ravine.
Yeah, they did. It was they had it on one of the seasons of XO.
Is that mm-hmm. Oh, so maybe it was Gazelle Rally.
It was Gazelle. It was Gazelle. But yeah, it was
that.
Like Jesse and her teammate and Rochelle and I'm blanking on Rochelle's co-pilots.
Was it Taylor Pauly?
I don't want to misspeak.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. But yeah, they found this like small ravine that ran as far as they could see in either direction, and they end up kind of digging through it and putting the mattress there and just using it as a bridge to get across. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, got out and put all the sand back, because it's the, you know, the right thing to do for tread lightly and everything. So mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
100%.
I can't find it. I tried. If I can't get it in first 30 seconds,
yeah,
I'm pretty quick.
Give up.
Yeah, yep.
To the meme page just came back up.
Oh god. Yeah, I'm gonna have to do some exploring on that one. I have a lot of questions there.
I didn't see that coming out of tonight's show, like all of us browsing
track memes.
Yeah. Traction memes.
Yeah, but not even really. Like a lot of that shit has nothing to do with anything.
Like I don't get the rally car one where it's Shrek and Donkey Say Fiona. You guys hear that?
No.
Decided to thunder. It's been raining all day, but like I guess the thunderstorms are like, hey, 9:15, we're here. Sweet.
Beautiful.
Like,
beautiful. Anyway. So, all right. I'm looking Caleb at the clock and no.
Yeah. What would you like to plug, Caleb?
What would I like to plug? Oh man. What are you talking? Social media or what?
It's your goal. It's your oyster. Yeah. Anything? So. Yeah.
Well, you can find
not anything.
Yeah. You can find us at adventure-imports.com. We've got pretty much anything, you know, for building your overland rig there. We're kind of expanding the website to have some more offerings. We've got lights, you know, bumpers, bed racks, roof racks now, you know, not just Maxtrax. You can find pretty much anything there. I'm really excited about that. So We're on Adventure. We're on Instagram at Adventure Imports. TikTok Adventure Imports. Actually doing pretty well and trying to stay active on TikTok.
sorry.
Gotta plug it. Gotta keep on with it.
Yep.
The 40-year-old man in me just died a little bit.
The 25-year-old me's doing my job, and that's what's
important. See, and at work, similar age person doing the exact same thing for us. As absolutely. It should be.
Absolutely. You know, gotta reach with the next 5 years. Man. That's the important part.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But Instagram Adventure Imports, TikTok Adventure Imports. You can follow my personal at Caleb Wallace for any Montero, whatever else content.
I would just say, like, there's some pretty pictures there too. Like, it's nice photography. Like, it's
quite pretty.
You do a good job.
And if you want to find out more about the Montero build, my website, CalebWallace.com, has a pretty intensive build breakdown that you can find everything on. So
cool.
Yeah.
We will get to
the website yet. There could have been more questions I missed.
You could have asked more questions.
Yeah. We'll mention that in our normal round of Montero discussions. That seems to be every freaking week this as of now.
So who are the next Montero people then?
So Glocker, obviously.
Glocker, okay. Yeah.
He's not next. We just had him. So
Yeah. I don't know who's so next, like, actually.
Four by Ford is Mitsubishi based. Andrew Collins was on the list to come back.
Yeah.
I need to text him.
Yeah, he's like, he lives near you.
He goes to the town that I'm like doing my MBA program through. Like,
what about Toasty Fab? Adam Campbell, he's got the solid axle swapped 2.5 on 37s. He'd be a great guy. He's awesome. Such an awesome member of the community.
Okay. All right, hold on a second. Let's wrap up the show and then we'll do this whole list of people. Yes.
So, there's a million.
Yeah, exactly. Each week I write down names. So all right. You can rate and review the show. Apple Podcasts. I didn't say iTunes this week, except I just said iTunes this week. You can like and subscribe on YouTube. Caleb was at Adventure Imports. It's all one word. And then at Caleb Wallace, all one word. And then the Hooniverse on Twitter, the real Hooniverse on Instagram. I'm at Overlanding Dad. He's no, not like the one from Friends. You can read what we write on Hooniverse, UTV Driver, ATV Rider, Everyday Driver, and the US News and World Report. And if you're interested in an adventure van, hit me up.
Shameless self plug at the end there.
Yeah. My kids eat if you buy a van. That's not 100% true, but that's what we're going to do in the world. So thank you, Caleb. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Caleb. Appreciate it.